Welcome to Our Noble Challenge. Pastor Eric Koonin now leads us in the study of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his ministry partner, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, one who correctly divides the word of truth." Today we invite you to join us in your copy of the Scriptures as we examine together the Word of God under the direction of Pastor Koonin.
I know most of you pay attention somewhat to the news. And even if you do just a little bit, perhaps you, like myself, have noticed in the past couple of weeks a lot of discussion about that sunken cruise ship. Kind of an interesting account, isn't it? All the way around, the whole business surrounding it. This enormous cruise ship called the Costa Concordia is still listing just off the rocky coast of Italy. What is it, Tuscan, in that area? And lives that have died are adding up, and there's still a lot of people that are missing. I've been particularly interested not only in just the tragedy itself. We're always sorry to hear about people that go out to enjoy a cruise or whatever else and something terrible happens. It's supposed to be a relaxing time. But I've also been really interested in the account of the captain, haven't you? I find the situation rather fascinating, and just want to share a little bit of it with you. Did you know that vessel cost $450 million? Can you imagine that? It's like, you know, I remember years ago talking about building these stadiums, these athletic stadiums, and people were saying, well, you know, how many millions it would cost, and then, you know, $450 million for this ship. And it carried, it boarded 4,200 passengers and crew. That's a lot of people, don't you think? The captain's name is Francesco Schettino. And there's a few things I want to bring to your attention about what happened with him. Number one, he went off course. All right? He went off course. I think I'd be pretty careful when I have 4,200 people carrying them around that I would stay on course, wouldn't you? But he went off course, number one. Second of all, he failed in his task, did he not? He didn't get the people to port. Isn't that really the obligation of a captain, is to take the people from one port and get them to another port? And he didn't get them to port. He didn't bring them to safety. He failed in that pursuit. And he didn't get them all off the ship. I was reading what the first responsibility of a ship master or a ship captain, it's pretty old. They used to call them ship masters. But according to the Merchant Marine Handbook, his first responsibility is this. He is to be the last man to leave the vessel. He had a moral collapse. Thirdly, he had a moral collapse. He deserted the ship when it was sinking with passengers aboard. He deserted his post. He left the people without a captain. So he had at least three failures. I'm sure other people can add others. But I wanted to bring them to your attention because this morning I want to talk about the captain of our salvation. We're going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to kind of talk about safety in general. And we're going to talk a little bit about how he is our captain as well of salvation. That he saves us to the uttermost when he saves us. So the first thing I need to tell you is this. The captain of our salvation will never go off course. We'll never go off course. And I like that. I like that. He has a plan, and His will be done. And He has a determinate counsel. God's plans are unerring. He will never, ever go off course. His plans, a counsel of His will, according to Ephesians 1:11, will be done. Sometimes we think about those things. Do you think somehow in the end that God will get off course, that fate will take over? Do you think fate will ever take over? Is there such a thing as fate? Do you think there's such a thing as karma? Do you think somehow everything will go away? He's not like men and can't carry out His plans. Notice in Psalm chapter 2 with me. Will you please turn with me there? I'm always glad when I read through the book of Revelation, you know, you start getting through and you see how all of the plans finally come together. Isn't it really kind of cool that God shares with us how it's all going to come together? Do you think that somehow it's going to go wayward? Do you think God's going to get off course? Do you think it's all, you know, get out of hand? Not going to happen. I like what it says in Psalm 2. It says, why do the heathen or the nations rage? They do, don't they? I noticed this morning turning on the news that the king or the leader of Yemen or somewhere who was burned is coming to New York City to get his burns treated. Remember when all of those different little countries in the Middle East were all having huge protests and they were kind of subverting the countries and their leaders and turning things upside down? So we're still hearing about that. But, you know, we live in a world where the people rage, the heathens rage, the nations rage. They call out and they say, you know, we're unhappy. We don't like what's going on. And you hear it all over the world. People are unhappy in America. He says, the people imagine a vain thing, it's empty. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. They look at God as a yoke, in other words. You know what I mean? That God is, you know, you've seen oxen with the yoke on them and you know, they're kind of enslaved, the ox to whatever the master says, and so the yoke is on them. But you remember what the Lord said, my yoke is easy. You know, come to me. Sometimes when we think God is unfair, when we think God doesn't know what He's doing, listen to me now. When we think God is off course, when there's a wayward trail that He is taking us on, I want you to understand that that's never the case. But you see, that's how the world thinks, that if there's a God out there, He's taking us down the wrong way. He's like this Shalito or whatever his name was, the captain of that cruise ship. He went off course. But God never goes off course. He always stays dead on. There's never a time he ever makes a mistake in his path. And so, even this morning, some of you are discomforted. You are upset. Perhaps you wonder if God knows what he's doing. I am here to tell you from the Word of God that yes, he knows what he's doing. The path is true. It's straight. It's not crooked. He's not taking us off course. You see, when the nations rage, it says, he who sits in the heavens, it says, shall laugh. They really think they're going to pull one over on God and turn matters around. It says, the Lord shall have them in derision and confusion. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his great displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. He will speak and it will be so. You need to understand when God says it is so, it is so. You have to understand that all of our lives and all of our paths are such that we're just kind of passing through. There's a reality to what we're going through very much. But you need to understand it's always difficult. The path is hard. I've shared with you, my kids bought me one of those Kindles for Christmas. And I have the book in my library, John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. For a lot of people, it's tedious reading in the day that we live. In fact, they've tried to scale it down for modern readers. But I downloaded it on that too. It's actually a free book. And I downloaded it on my Kindle as well. But I'm reminded of Christian's path and Pilgrim's Progress. Do you remember, if any of you read it, how difficult of a path it was? Our path is not going to be easy, folks. You need to understand that. But does it mean that God is offline, that somehow he doesn't know what he's doing? That is what the world speaks as. The captain will never go off course. I've heard this several times this week. I mentioned that Paul and I stopped in to see the Ostranskys yesterday as they deal with their situation. And Luke chapter 8, verses 24 and 25, there's this classic passage, and I think Dave mentioned it in Sunday school today as well. And it's the very familiar account of the disciples and Jesus on the ship and the storms rage and everything is in havoc. You know what I mean? Everything seems to going apart. And it's very scary to be on a boat when it's going up and down and shaking round and around. You know, I've mentioned it before. I remember going out on Lake Erie with my dad in his little boat and going up and down, and the waves kick up, and they all of a sudden you're way up and you're way down, and here you're in this little boat, you know, and you think, I hope Dad can get us back to land all right. I was thinking this past week, wasn't planning on mentioning it. I remember as just being a little boy, and I was with my dad and my two older brothers, and I fell out of the boat in Lake Erie. And I remember my dad's arm, I remember going down, I can still remember very clearly looking up and seeing the boat up there. You know, and I'm, I don't know, 8 years old or something like that, and I'm thinking, what happened? You know, it happened so quick. My brother and I got into a tug of war and trying to do something on the boat, and I went ploop in the water. And, you know, I remember being pulled out. I'm always interested, though, you know, in those sort of things. The water can be a fearsome thing. And I can imagine how frightened those people were on that cruise ship. You say, well, you know, I've seen the pictures there right by land, but I'm going to tell you, if it's dark and the ship is sinking and the water is deep and the water is cold and you're not that close to land, you have a lot of reason to be frightened. They're out on the ship. They're out on their little boat here too. And it was filling with water according to verse 23. And they were in jeopardy, we're told. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he rose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. They ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, marveled, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commanded even the winds and water, and they obey him. That's the part I really like. The winds and the water, the waves, they all obey him. He is in charge. His course is true. He is the captain of our salvation, of our existence day by day. I share with you as well, nothing diverted him from the cross. If you're still here in Luke, notice in the next chapter in verse 51, it says, And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Do you know that when it was time for the Lord to go to the cross of Calvary, to die on the cross for your sins, he would not be diverted. He would not go off course. It was straight and true. There was nothing that was going to stop him from going to the cross to be your substitute on that cross for your sins. I got to tell you, he set his face. It means he would not be stopped. He was going to go no matter what. I like that. Don't you like a captain who knows where he's going? By the way, nothing's going to stop his return either. Do you think, like I said earlier, do you think anything's going to stop it? Do you think the nations that are raging, do you think that people that are protesting, do you think people that are upset with God, do you think the change of culture, do you think somehow that that will stop Jesus from coming again? Nothing will stop him. The Bible says, even so come, Lord Jesus, even so come today. If it's today, praise God. So first of all, our captain will never go off course. He will do as he says. He has decreed it. He has said it. He will do it. He is not like us. You may say, my plan is to do this, but oh, there's been a change of plans. We're human, we're frail. We go off course. Second of all, our captain never fails. He will get us to where we ought to go. He keeps us safe and secure. That's the idea. He never sleeps, he never slumbers. He watches me both day and night. He will keep me safe and secure. Sometimes we have our moments. I told you it's a rocky existence. We're temporary people. It's hard for us to get through this existence of ours, is it not? It's filled with rocky paths and jagged shores. Don't be surprised. So glad, so how often God answers our prayers. I rejoice so often in the safety and the security that we enjoy. And you know, that's why we pray. I stopped today to pray. Why did I stop today to pray? Because I feel like our people are troubled. They're struggling. You say, there's no good news that I've heard recently. Well, there's some good news, but it's easy to miss it. But we know about some of the struggles that we're facing. Perhaps we know that in the darkest night, there's always a silver lining in the sunrise isn't far behind. And soon, folks, soon that sunrise will appear and better days arise. But sometimes we have to be faithful and we need to continue to pray and not stop. We've got to be the people that God has called us to be. And I implore you, I beseech you, I beg you that we be the people that God has called us to be. Sometimes it's easy to collapse when things aren't going well. But this is the time when we, like men, rise up. And we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Help us. We sang this morning, guide us, O thou great Jehovah. What kind of people are we? Pilgrims in where? In this barren land, I am weak, but thou art mighty. Listen, folks, spiritually, he keeps us all the way to glory. I love the classic passage in John chapter 14, thinking about it. He says, let not your heart be what? Troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, houses, places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And where I go, ye know, and the way you know. Thomas at that point probably was saying what all the rest of them were thinking. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto them, what? The wonderful passage, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He keeps us all the way to glory. He's the way. You want to know why he will not fail us? Do you know why the captain of our salvation will never fail? He has a plan. And he will get us there. John 3:16, one of the most classic verses. I had a smile when, you kind of get a laugh out of you no matter how you do it, that Tim Tebow a few weeks ago, that they said, I don't know how many thousands of times John 3:16 was Googled, because Tim Tebow in this game, that playoff game that he won, he threw for 316 yards. He threw for an average of 31.6 yards. And the rating for that game on television was 31.6. And so they said John 3:16 was Googled thousands and thousands of times. Well, praise God. You know, if it was, you know, God's in control of everything, if that was part of his plan, we don't know. But it gave people an opportunity to look at John 3:16. For God so loved the world. It gave them an opportunity to see the power and the glory of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that what whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Does God have an unfailing plan? Should not perish but have everlasting life. He has an unfailing love. I like, have you ever heard the song Unfailing Love? It flows from his heart and makes me whole. Kind of a neat song. Flows from his heart and makes me whole. Do you think for a second that he will ever fail us? We sing, Jesus never what? Fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away, but Jesus what? What? Never fails. We all fail. He is infallible, right? We are fallible. He keeps us all the way to glory. Do you think the death on the cross is not sufficient for you? For those who rise up and say, oh, I think perhaps I can lose my salvation, that somehow if I stumble, do you think God would ever keep such a wonderful plan of salvation entirely resting on your ability as a fallible person to keep it? Are you kidding me? That's why Jesus never fails. That is why he will take you from one port here on earth all the way to glory, and he will not lose you. If you belong to him, he will get you back safely there. He will not fail you. It's not possible. It's not up for grabs. It's not up for grabs. Finally, our captain never forsakes us. I like some of these classic passages, you know what I mean? You see, this captain has been called a coward, perhaps rightfully so. I guess the line I really liked the best was, that I fell into a life raft. Did you like that line that you heard? That was one of the excuses. He fell into a life raft. Whoops! I'm on a life raft and I'm away I go. You know, come on. He will never forsake us. I'm saddened by the forsaking of people today. You know, it's very common. It's kind of like the day that we live in. People forsake other people. You know, we throw them aside. We toss them aside as if they are nothing. As if they're an inanimate object, and I'll just replace you for somebody else. But the fact of the matter is people are special and precious. We don't throw people aside. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, it says, be strong and of good courage. I need to be reminded of that sometimes too, you know. Sometimes it's easy to feel weak and frail. You that come on Wednesday night, you know I'm in 1 Kings chapter 18, and Elijah's about ready to have this wonderful triumph over the prophets of Baal, 450 against one. Then the next chapter, Jezebel comes after him, and what happens? He runs for the hills, doesn't he? He's scared to death despite all of the support. We all play the coward on moments. I read some of these old sermons like by Charles Spurgeon and others. And you know what? One of the lines they used to use a lot in the 1800s, for instance, they say, play the man. He would tell the people, play the man. In other words, be strong. That was common terminology of saying to be strong and not to be afraid. Play the man. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is who doth go with you. He goes with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Same thing like in Hebrews, right? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Remember that passage in Hebrews 13 and 5 or 6 or whatever the passage is there? I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I have wonderful consolation that my God will never leave me, not even for a nanosecond, not even for a split second. Emily, when used to play basketball and stuff in high school and all that, you know, and particularly in college and professional ball, it always bothered me, you know, they have the tenths of seconds, you know. And it would always bother me, especially in the NBA. They'd throw the ball out to him. They'd grab the ball. And I always found it somehow, I had a hard time comprehending this, that they can grab the ball and somehow shoot the ball within just a few tenths of a second. I always thought to myself, if you catch the ball, isn't there a few tenths of a second that you grab the ball? But you realize that God, not even for, I don't care how you break down a second, hundreds of seconds, thousands of seconds. You know, when they run these races, horse races and men and women racing against each other, sometimes they have to stop and they have these photo finishes and you see the horse's nose or you see the top of the guy's head or something breaking the finish line. And they say he won by 0.02 of a second. And I say, how can you do that? But you realize God never, never, ever will leave you nor forsake you. And even though there are times in our weakness, in our frailty, in our fragileness, in our fallibility, we feel like we are all alone. And I'm feeling a little Job-like, and I feel a little bit like Jeremiah, and I feel like everything is coming down on me. I want you to understand again that God is always with you, the captain of your soul, the captain of your life. He will never, ever leave you or forsake you, even for the briefest time. We're not alone. He is the God who is there. He will be with you even, how long does it say? Even until the end of the world, the end of the age. He will never leave you. Don't you understand? If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will always captivate you and take hold of you and never leave you alone. You can count on the Lord even when it seems that our life ship is sinking. He'll be there. Folks, He can drown. If you feel like you're drowning today and you're sinking fast, that perhaps today you're still in your sin, I'm hopeless, there's no hope for me. Listen, He's reaching down wanting to pull you out of that miry existence and put you on the solid ground of salvation. Twofold. Captain of our salvation. He wants to help you today. Relieve you of your troubles. Second of all, He can save to the uttermost. Because our captain will never go off course. He will never fail. He will never forsake you. That's who He is. Oh, Father, now as we leave this morning, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that human captains let us down, but the captain of our salvation, He will never fail us. Thank You for always being there. May we be mindful of it. May You provide help to all the needy today, and perhaps those who we don't know, and perhaps those who are struggling with many other things in their life. May You be here today.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Our Noble Challenge. Our Noble Challenge is a production of Berean Baptist Church. Pastor Eric Coonan and the congregation of Berean invite you to join us when you can for a service of worship at 10:30 Sunday mornings. If you're interested in the Sunday school hour, you may show up at 9:30. We are located at 12985 Tollgate Road, Pickerington, Ohio, 43147. You can also reach our office by phone at 837-5204 or join us on the web at BereanBaptistChurch.com. Berean spelled B-E-R-E-A-N, BaptistChurch.com. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.